across Europe and indeed much of the world just before Lent, and in some places just after as well, there will have been the feverish grip of festival as people keep carnival. Carnival, I suppose literally translated as a farewell to meat, denotes the days of celebration preceding what is meant to be a serious and self-denying season of Lent. In Rio, San Francisco, and Venice, carnival is reveling in all that is good about the body. Dance, song, and if the photos are to be judged, sex. But across Europe too, little villages will have held their own communal celebrations, with children in costume to the fore. In England, more sedately, we eat pancakes to remind ourselves of the eggs and milk which were to be denied us in Lent. In my house, reduced to scoffing all the bacon and the chocolates in the corners of the fridge. This concentration on the appetite and upon its temptations, as if for a final fling, is a reminder to us that although we are all body, we are also all spirit, and that we need Lent to remind us that the spirit needs some attention also. We know profoundly that our bodies are subject to change. The tailor who makes my cassocks wisely assumes that she'd better add on a couple of inches every few years without asking. In fact, given the processes of life, we are actually quite atomically different over a span of years. There is likely to be no part of me standing before you today, which I gather existed 20 years ago. Indeed, the continuity of me as a person is, I sense, more spiritual than physical. You would not recognize, or I hope you wouldn't, the chubby little boy in his school uniform from a photograph, or even, I fear, the faintly dishy young student. But you would be able to recognize the son of certain parents, the brother of brothers, the person remembered as living here or there. The continuity is not in the atoms of my body, but the pattern made up of moments and connections and desires. The great medieval mystic Meister Eckhart made the point that the body lives in the soul and not the other way round. The transfiguration of Jesus, witnessed by his disciples, is the revelation of him as he actually is, not just the human son of particular parents, but the anointed one of God. Some regard this as a resurrection story which has got out of place in the gospel. That is as may be. What counts is that his divine glory was apparent in his human body, as indeed it was on Easter Day. In Jesus, the glory of God has become a human body which passes away, but which is endlessly renewed in spirit by a pattern of connection with God and with others. The transfiguration required a change of form, an appearance of light, which the ancients associated so closely with the source of God, for Jesus to be properly revealed. So too with our life of spirit. I take it as read that we who have come, however falteringly, to love Jesus, however differently we may each envisage him, we are each in the business of change. We are not yet what God would have us be. Our spirits must change as surely as the atoms of our limbs.